Shalom to all. Today's office bombing scene that fine gimel. We are starring Ayin Beis Omen Beis about two lines off for the bottom with the words Tana Rabbanon. And today's office sponsor Lilu Nishmas Maris Miriam Sar Basu Yaakov Moshe Her Neshama should have an aliyah. And Lilu Nishmas Maris Rivka Basu Meir Zev Her Neshama should have an aliyah. And we continue discussing numerous ribbis cases. The Gemara tells us Tana Rabbanon we have a brisa Hamelech Havili Makom Makom. A person is bring a package from place to place, which means bring produce or goods from a place that is less expensive to more expensive. Obviously, he wants to make money. Mitzay Chaveri, his friend bumps into him. Va'amrulani tells him Tanali, give me that produce. Give me whatever it is you want to sell, and I'm going to pay you whatever they would pay you over there. You're in Yerushalayim, going to Bnei Brak, stuff is more expensive in Bnei Brak, you're going to make more money. Instead of you schlepping there, I'll schlep there, and I'll give you whatever money you would have made in Bnei Brak. Now looking at this through Ribbis glasses, it seems like I'm Tanas Mice. The friend, whose name obviously is Shimon, is not paying for the goods now, he's going to be paying later at a higher price. So he's taking them in Yerushalayim, where they cost less, and paying later the higher price, and that would be a problem, obviously. So the Gemara in Gemara Alef on top tells us, Birshas Meicher Mutar. If when Shimon is bringing this produce to Bnei Brak, it's still in to the meicher, the seller, so it's permitted, because not like Shimon's borrowing the value of the produce, he's just acting as a shliach, as an agent, or as b'shus lekeach, usher, if this produce is in the b'shus lekeach, then it's usher. Another potential case of ribbis, and this is a disgusting case of sa'a b'sa'a, we've learned about this previously, one is not allowed to borrow a sa'a with a stipulation that he's going to pay back a sa'a, because maybe it's going to go up in price, and that means he's giving back more value than he received. However, over here we have a case that's permitted. Hamelech pears makom makom, a person brings pears from one place to another, mitzay chaveri, and his friend encountered him, v'amrulani told him, namely, give them to me over here, v'ani alacha pears she and I'll give you the pears that I have in that place. Instead of you schlepping it there, I need produce here, and you have produce here, so I'll take it from you here, and I'll give you over there. Same yeshlei pears by semakayim. If that friend has pears in the other place, mutter is permitted. Vimlav aser, if not, it's aser. And that's because saw b'saw is aser. However, since he has the produce in another place, it's like a kinyan is happening right now, so it's not saw b'saw. Another potential case of ribbis, and here we're discussing where the price for the item is reduced because the buyer is paying right now. Enter the case, v'chamarim malim makam hayagir k'makam hazal. Chamarim, which literally means donkey drivers, and these are basically merchants who use their donkeys to go to the outlying villages, buy produce for cheap, and then bring them into the cities and sell it for more expensive. So these chamarim are allowed to be mala b'makam hayoker. They're allowed to sell in the expensive place, kib makam hazol, like it costs in the cheaper place. So basically, these chamarim are cutting deals with people that live in the cities where it's more expensive. Then they're going to sell them this produce at a cheaper rate as long as they pay right now. So these chamarim can have the money in hand, v'in chayshin, and there's no issue. My time of wise is permitted. It should be an issue of ribbis. And Rav Papa Amar, he answers because nichalu de miglu. Tara, it's good for them that the doors become open for them. What does that mean? So as we said, these chamarim, these donkey drivers, received advance payment from wealthy people for produce at the cheaper price, and this helped the doors be open for them, which means they can buy on credit in the villages because of their reputation as merchants for wealthy people. And therefore, there's extra gain on the chamarim's part because of the business opportunities available to them due to their reputation. And this has nothing to do with Hamtanas Mice. Now, Rav Breder Vika Amar, he gives a different explanation why it's permitted. Nichol hu de muzli gabayu, it's good for these chamarim to charge less because it costs less for them. When they go to the villages to buy their produce, their suppliers drop their prices because they know that the chamarim are dropping their prices as well. And so it's again because of this business opportunity that's available to them that they get their produce cheaper, it's worthwhile for them to sell it for cheaper, and that's not an issue of ribbis. The Gemara asks my benel, what's the difference between these two answers? And the answer is, the difference is, tagra chalato, if we have a new merchant. So new merchant is not going to get a price reduction because the suppliers don't know him yet. However, they will do business with him because he developed his reputation that he does business with wealthy people in the city. And on to another situation, Besura, in the city of Sura, Azle Arbar. Produce was 4 measures per zuz. Whereas Bekafri, that's a different city, Azlan Shisa Shisa, it was 6 measures per zuz, so it's cheaper in Kafri than it was in Sura. And you have Rav Zuzal Chamari, Rav gave money to donkey drivers so they should go to Kafri, which is obviously cheaper, and Bekaba Ale, Rav accepted upon himself, unto the Urcha, that he's going to take responsibility if anything happens to the produce along the way, and Meshachav Inayu Chamisha, he took from them 5 measures per zuz. The Gemara asked, Nishkal Shisa, why doesn't he just take 6 measures? That's what the cost was over there. And anyway, he accepted the responsibility of this produce upon himself, and so there's no ribbis issues. Why didn't he take all 6, why only 5? And the answer is Adam Chashev Shani, a person who's Chashev, like Rav. They're different. They have to make sure that whenever they're getting involved in a business deal, that maybe there's going to be an issue of ribbis. They have to make sure to stay very far away, and that's why he only took 5 and not 6. And Balmine Ravasim Rabbiachan Ravasi asked Rabbiachan the following question: Ma'olasus Brutais Kane, could we do this with Grutais? Literally, Grutais is broken pieces of metal, gold, silver, and things like that. We would call that scrap metal, and we're not specifically talking about Grutais. It can be any sort of goods that don't necessarily have a steady supply. Up until now, we've been talking about produce that we definitely know has a steady supply. So no ribbis issues, but what about doing with grutais, something that does not have a steady supply? So he told him, because Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi Lazarus Kane, Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi wanted to do this, but klei peshton, with linen garments, v'lo yinichu Rebbe, and Rebbe didn't allow him, because there isn't a steady supply of linen garments, and so we're going to run into ribbis issues, and ikadami some say, because Rebbe lost the grutais Kane, the Rebbe wanted to do this with grutais, with these broken pieces of metal, v'lo yinichu Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, and it was Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi that didn't allow Rebbe to do it. And another discussion, pardisa, what about a vineyard? So we have Mr. Viner, who's a vintner, and he owns a vineyard, and we have somebody that wants to buy all of his wine off of him right now before the grapes have even fully grown. And it's obviously paying much less money than the wine would be valued at much later on. And this is technically an issue of ribes. Rav Asar, Rav Asar says, Shmuel Shari, Shmuel permits it. Rav Asar, Rav Asar is Kimon Tekameh Shavya Tveh Mizchazik Agar Natar Leh. Since later on, this wine is going to be worth way more money than he's paying right now, so it looks like Agar Natar. He's paying Mr. Wiener a little bit of money, and he's going to be getting produce worth much more money later on, so it seems like Agar Natar. Whereas the Shmuel Shari, Shmuel allows this, Kimon Tehavah Beit Yua, since a mishap could happen to all the wine, the grapes could not grow properly, they could spoil, the crop could be bad, Leh Mizchazik Agar Natar Leh, it doesn't look like Agar Natar, because that would be the responsibility of the buyer, not Mr. Wiener's, and therefore it's not Agar Natar, because he has significant risk. Now the reason why Rav doesn't agree with this is because Rav holds that this is not considered significant risk. Most probably, the wine's going to turn out good. However, Amar Shimon Bar Chiya tells us, Umaydi Rav, Rav does agree, Baturi, that if the grapes are harvested by oxen, meaning oxen are going in the vineyard pulling their cart, then it is okay to make such a deal, Dinafash Psidaihu, because there almost definitely will be a loss to the grapes, because the oxen caused it to get ruined, and therefore even according to Rav, this is okay. And another situation, Amar Shmuel, Lahanu Shabshi Shivsha, Shmuel told those who lend seeds to sharecroppers, what's this talking about? So we have a person who's sharecropping a field, it's not his field, he's just working it, and he's going to give, let's say, half of the produce to the owner of the field, but the problem is he doesn't have any seed with which to plant the field, so he borrows the seed from the owner. And there's an issue of sabasa, because he's borrowing the seed now, and he's going to return the same amount of seed later on, but it could be they're going to go up in value. And therefore, what did Shmuel tell these people? Hafuchu ba'ara, you should turn over the land, kecha dekanelchu gufa da'ara, so you should acquire the actual land itself. In other words, he told the owners of the field, when you give your lands over for sharecropping agreement, save some of the land for yourself that's not part of the agreement, and therefore, when you get your seed back at the end of the season, it's as if it's coming from the part of the field that you retained for yourself and not from the sharecropper's part. And that way, it's not a sabasa. And if you lie, if you don't do this, havin alchuk halva, it's like a halva, va'asar and it's asar. And another situation, amalu rava lahayu dimitri bagi, rava told these watchmen of fields, they would watch the crop while it's growing, so that no one stole it and nothing happened to it, and technically they should be paid right around the harvest time. So what did rava tell them? Puku hafuchu beidari, you should go out and turn over in the threshing floor, meaning you should go help out when they're threshing the grain, so that your schiros, your payment for watching the field, shouldn't be paid until then. That way your payment will only be due then. At that time, they make it cheaper for you. What's going on over here? So we said these people are watching the field, and technically their job is over, and their wages due by the harvest. However, they didn't get paid until after the grain was already threshed, and usually the owners of the grain gave them a gift or an extra bonus because of their work, and that's a problem of Agar Natar. They really should have been paid a while ago, and they're only getting paid later on, and they're getting extra from the owner of the field. So that's Chayram Tanas Mais. And that's what Rava told them, that you shouldn't end your job yet. Just because it was the harvest, that doesn't mean your job's over. Go into the threshing floor and help them out over there. So it's like you're still working, and then when you're finished threshing the grain with them, they're going to be done as well. That's when they're going to pay you. And that's when they're chayiv to pay you, because that's when your job is over. And if they give you extra, it's just a zulei kamazigabayichu. That's what we just read, which means it's basically their gift to you, and it's not considered ribes, because there's no amtanas mais. And another situation, Amalei Rabban Rava, the Rabban told Rava, ka'achama ribes, you're consuming ribes. Meaning what you're doing, Rava, is a problem of ribes. Why is that? Dukulei alma shagli arba misalki larisim nisan. All their people, when they sharecrop their fields, their aris, their sharecropper, is in 4 kar per year, and the aris is removed from the property in Nisan time. Whereas Mar, you Rava, not alhu ad Iyar, you allow them to stay in the field until Iyar, v'shakal shisa, and you take 6. That seems to be an issue of amtanas mais. You're allowing them to pay you later, but they have to pay you more. And that's ribes. So amalhu, Rava responded to them, atun kavdisan shalikadin. What you're doing is not proper, because arila aris mishtabid. Really, a piece of property that's taken by a sharecropper is mishubat to him. Technically, he should be allowed to stay there as long as necessary. And iatun maslakisuluhu benisan, if you're telling him that he has to leave in Nisan, which is what everyone used to do, masadisuluhu bakama, you're making him lose out on a lot, because really the crop can continue growing and he could be making much more money than he does because you send him out in Nisan. And therefore what you're doing is wrong. I allow them to stay until Iyar, umarvachnu lubakama, and I'm allowing them to gain much more because much more produce is produced in the field because I'm not having them harvested early. And the reason why I'm taking more is because the field is more valuable. So it's not hamtanas mais, it's just a higher rent price because the field produces more. And not the ayin gimel mabez on top with more situations, many of them with Rava. Rav Mar Barachel, Mishkan Layahu Nachri Besa. There was a guy who had borrowed money from Rav Mar Barachel, and he gave him a house as a mashkoin so he could use it up until he pays him back. Hadar Zavnal Rava, then the non-Jew sold this house to Rava. And not the tracer Yachishasa, Rav Mari waited 12 months, and then after 12 months, Shakal Agar Besa, Amtile Rava, he took the monthly rental for this house and he brought it to Rava, because Rava had bought this house while it was given as a mashkoin to Rav Mari, and Rav Mari stayed there 12 months rent-free, but then the 13th month, meaning at the beginning of the second year, he brought the rental payment to Rava, because it's really Rava's house. And Amar Leh, Rav Mari told him, Hadalei Amti Lamar Agar Besa Ado Idna, the only reason why I didn't bring you rent until now, meaning I waited a whole year to bring you rent, is to stop Mashkanta Shasa, because a standard mashkoin is given over for a year. We've learned about this previously. And Ibai Nachri Lesalki, even if the non-Jew wanted to get rid of me, let's say he came up with the money for the loan earlier, Leh have a Matzi Masakli, he wouldn't have been able to send me out of the house. And therefore, I was allowed to live in the house rent-free for a full year. But Hashtel was Gomar Agar Beso. But now, Mar, Rava, you're allowed to take rental for the house because after a year, and it's your house, so I'm paying you rent. So Malay Rava told him, Yav Yodana to have a Mushkin Leila Mar, if I knew it was given to you as a Mashkin because you had lent the non-Jew money, Loi Havas Vinan Olay, I never would have bought it from him. Hashikidinam of Dinallah, now I'm going to act with you like their dinim, like what the non-Jewish court systems do. Or what do the non-Jewish courts say? Call Amos Loi Masalki Bazuzi, as long as a borrower hasn't been Masalik the lender, meaning he hasn't paid him back, Loi Shakal Agar Beso, he's not allowed to take rental for the house at all. And obviously, this would be ribbis in Yiddish terms, but according to non-Jewish courts, this is totally okay. In other words, Rav is telling him, since you're owed money by this non-Jew and you haven't yet been paid back, so you're allowed to live in this house rent-free even past a year. And therefore, I know Nam Yulosha killing Minoch Agar Beso, I'm not going to take any rent for you from this house, Adim Salakna Al-Chabazuzi, until I remove you with money, meaning until your loan is paid back. And this is obviously not an Isra Ribbis, because we're talking about a non-Jew who had borrowed money from Rav Mari Bar Ochel, and Rav had purchased the house from the non-Jew, so there's no Ribbis issues over here. And on to another case, Amalei Rav Bar Nishla Rav Ashi, Rav from Bar Nishla Rav Ashi, Chazi Mar Abanon Ka'achli Rabisa, see that they're Abanon, they consume Ribbis, they're benefiting from interest. Why is that? The Yav Zuzi Achamra B'Tishrei, they pay money for wine in Tishrei, meaning they pay the wine sellers in Tishrei, Mirchila B'Teves, but they only take the wine in Teves a few months later. Why is that an issue? Well, because if they would have taken the wine in Tishrei, then by Teves, some of the barrels would have spoiled. But now that they're picking the wine in Teves, they're only going to pick the good wine. Obviously, they're not going to take any spoiled wine, and that means they're paying less and receiving more. Classic issue of Ribbis. So Amar Leir Vashi told him, in Unami Acham Koyavi, they're really only paying for wine. Achal Loi Koyavi, they're not paying for vinegar. Mekar the Chamra, Chamra. The Chala, Chala. Whatever originally was wine is wine now, and what originally was vinegar is vinegar now. Hahishaitahu the Kamivchari, it's only now that they're choosing it. In other words, Rashi's telling him there's nothing wrong going on over here. When they paid for the wine in Tishrei, it was obvious that they were only paying for wine and they weren't paying for vinegar. Even if they were taking their wine then, when they paid for it, they would have only taken wine and not vinegar. Now, something which in a few months' time turns out to be vinegar really always had a little bit of a vinegary taste back then in Tishrei. And therefore, when they're choosing wine now, 3 months later, that's something that they always would have chosen and they never would have taken something that was a little bit vinegary. And therefore, there's no ribbis issues. And another story, Ravina Hava Yav Zuzla B'nei Akkadish Hanvasa. Ravina used to give money to the people of Akkadish Hanvasa. This was for wine as well, meaning he would advance them payment. But over here, he wasn't getting a cheaper price. He was giving them money now for wine, but he was paying the more expensive price of the wine, which is when he would receive it. So that's not a problem. However, where's the issue? V'shavchilei tvei kufisa, when they actually gave him the wine, they would give him an actual barrel full of wine. Also, came to Ravashi, and Amalei, he asked him, Mishari, is this permitted? Is it ribbis? They're giving me more than I paid for. So Amalei told him, in, yes, achulihu de kamachli gabach, they're being meichelit to you. Since you didn't arrange this originally, you paid a fair price for the wine, and that's how much wine they're giving you, and then they decided to give you extra on their own accord, that's totally okay. However, Amalei, Ravina continued asking him, maybe there's a different reason why I can't take their wine from them. Ha'ar la'duhi, this is not their land. And why is it not their land? Because it was really owned by people who were very poor and couldn't pay the yearly property tax, so they just abandoned their property and left it open, and these people who Ravina bought wine from went in there, paid the property taxes, and planted vines and made this wine. So Ravina's asking Ravashi, maybe I'm buying stolen produce. Amalei, Ravashi told him, no, Ar la'taska mashabda, land is meshubid to the tax. In other words, you only have rights to use the land if you pay the tax. Umalka Amar, and the king of the land says, Manda yav taska lechol ara, whoever pays the tax, he can have the produce of the land. If you don't pay the tax, you're not allowed to have the produce of your land. And since these people paid the property tax, they're allowed to have the produce. You're right, it's not their land. In title, it belongs to the poor people who abandoned it, but since they paid the tax, they're allowed to have the produce, and it's not considered stolen. And something similar to this, Amalei Rav Papa Rava, Rav Papa told Rava, Chazi Mar Hani Rabbanon Diyavi Zuzi Akarga De'inchi, see these Rabbanon, they pay for the head tax of other Yidden. Yidden had to pay a certain head tax, and there were certain poor Jews that weren't able to pay it, and so rabbis pay for these Yidden, umeshabed b'utfei, and they're meshabed them very much, meaning they basically take them as slaves and servants, and they work them really hard. Why is that okay? So Amalei Rava responded to him, Hashta Ichu Shchiva Loi Amri L'chu HaMilsa. Now, if I would have died before I told you this, I wouldn't have had the ability to tell you the following thing, which is wonderful. Hachi Amar Rav Sheshes, this is Rav Sheshes says, Mayurkayu Dehani, the seal of slavery of these people, Betafsa D'malka Monach, it lies in the king's treasury. Meaning, basically, every single person is considered to have a seal of slavery on them that they have to serve the king. Malkam, and the king says, Manda Loyav Karga, whoever doesn't pay the head tax, L'shtabil L'manda Yoyav Karga. He's Meshubid, he has to be a slave to the one who does pay the head tax. And therefore, these Rabbanon aren't doing anything wrong. This is according to the law of the land. And a similar story, Rav Sa'irim Achud Rava, Rav Sa'irim, who's the brother of Rava, Hava Chatef Inchi Doi Malu, he would chop people, grab these people who weren't good. Anchi Doi Malu means problematic people. And what would he do with them? Umayaluhu Begurka de Rava, he would make them carry Rava's carriage. Rava had this carriage that wasn't on wheels and drawn by horses. It was basically a box that he sat in that was held by at least four people and carried through the streets because that was the only way he was able to get around. And so Rava's brother, Rav Sa'irim, used to chop people who were acting inappropriately and force them to carry Rava's box around. And Amrulay, Rava told him, Shabraka Avdis, what you're doing is great. The Tani, we have a breast that says, if you see that a another yid is not acting properly, how do you know that you're allowed to be mishabed him, you're allowed to enslave him and make him like a servant to you? Because Tamalim, the Torah tells us, now really, in the Pasuk, there's a comma after the word tavaydu, and the Pasuk's telling us two separate things, that you should always enslave non-Jews, and uvachechem b'nei Yisrael, in regards to your brothers, yidin, you're not allowed to enslave them. However, for this drasha, we're moving the comma, and we're reading it all together, that you're always allowed to enslave them, the non-Jews, and your brothers as well, if they're acting inappropriately. Now, yachol, you might think, that even if a yid is acting appropriately, you're allowed to chap him and enslave him, because it says the word uvachechem, and in order to not think that, Tamalim, the Pasuk says, and here we read it properly with the comma, uvachechem b'nei Yisrael, ishba achiv v'gaymer, and with your brothers, a man to his brother b'nei Yisrael, you're not allowed to enslave him. That's obviously when he's acting properly. And one more case for the day, Amar v'chamer v'chama says, Haiman d'yav zuz l'chavre l'mizma l'chamra. One person gave money to another to buy wine for him. So this is talking about b'shas agitais. It was the time that they were making wine and everybody was selling and wine was available at a very good price. And so Reuven gave money to Shimon to buy wine for him at this good price. And the deal was that if Shimon, for whatever reason, doesn't end up buying the wine and the price goes up, so Shimon has to take money out of his own pocket to buy more wine, the amount that could have been purchased at the cheaper price. And what happened to Pashal Ezovin Le? He was negligent. He didn't end up buying wine for Reuven. What does he have to do? Mishalem Leke, the Ka'azal Pervasid Zalshafat. He has to pay him the price that this wine would have cost at the marketplace in Zalshafat. That's where wine was very cheap. And it's like what we just said. Since Shimon didn't end up buying the wine at the cheap price like he should have, now he has to pay more money for the wine and he's going to be getting less wine. So he has to take that extra money out of his pocket and buy as much wine as he could have at the cheaper price. And Amar Meimar tells us, Amrisal Shmetzik Amazar Zimna Arda, I said this in front of Zimna Arda, and Amar, he told me, Kika Amar Abchama, when did Abchama say that? Hani Mila B'Yayin Stam. That's only if Shimon was appointed to buy Yayin Stam. Just go buy me some sort of wine. And since Shimon didn't buy it, so he has to make up the extra out of his pocket. Avol B'Yayin Zeh, Loi. But this does not apply if he was told, go buy that specific wine. Go to Mr. Wiener and buy his vine. And why not? Because Mi Yemer Dimzab Nile Niale. Who says Mr. Wiener would have sold him his vine? So even though Reuven told Shimon, go to Mr. Wiener and buy his wine, who says Mr. Wiener would have sold it to Shimon? And therefore, in this case, Shimon doesn't have to make up the extra out of his own pocket, even though he was Paisheya. However, Rashi says, Afil Yain Stam Namiloi, even when all Shimon was told was go buy wine from somebody, he still doesn't have to make the extra up out of his pocket. My time away is that Asmachtahi, Asmachtah Kanya. It's an Asmachta, and we know Asmachtah Kanya. What is an Asmachta? So we had this previously, that when a person takes something upon himself, very often the thing he's taking upon himself is exaggerated or somewhat preposterous, and the reason why he's saying that he's going to do this is because he wants to convince the other person that he's really serious about the job. And if he doesn't do the job, he's going to do X, Y, and Z, which is a little bit ridiculous. We say that it's not kanya, it's not binding. Halachically, he doesn't actually have to do this somewhat crazy thing that he said he would do, because again, the only reason why he said he would do it is to show that he's serious. But halachically, this shliach over here, Shimon, doesn't actually have to take the extra money out of his pocket. Asking more, Ravashi, Kontravashi, you just said this is an asmachta, mashlami hadnan. Why is the case that we just mentioned different than the following case that we have in a Mishnah? A sharecropper tells the owner of the field, im iver v'loy avid, if I leave the field and I don't do anything to it, I don't work it, and therefore there's no produce, ashalim meitva, I'm going to pay you from the very best of my property. And in that situation, he does have to pay from the best. But according to Ravashi, that's an asmachta as well. And the answer is, hasam biyadai. Over there, it's up to him. It's within his ability. The sharecropper could work the land. And if he doesn't work the land, it's his fault that no produce grew. And that's why he has to make it up out of his pocket. Ein danam al on top, hacha la biyadai. But over here, with the case of the wine, it's not in his hands. Because very possible that whatever wine seller Shimon goes to, that guy's not going to want to sell it to him. And therefore, the wine case is a real asmachta, according to Ravashi. We're going to stop here for the day and pick up tomorrow with another case of shlichus. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.